It's Tuesday, the 15th of March, 2016. Happy birthday to Jabari Parker. Basketball Monitor Show, brought to you by moneyball.com.au and IAXN. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to be a sponsor of the podcast like IAXN, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes and you can sponsor the show for a day. Of course, Moneyball has been with us all season, so a big shout out to those guys. They run Australia's best daily fantasy sports site, so if you live in Australia or New Zealand, make sure you're checking out Moneyball and are playing in some of those contests that they have running there every day of the season. All right, lots of interesting stuff. Hopefully you guys are in the playoffs. I'm sure majority of you are. Hopefully, fingers crossed you are. And hopefully the first day of the playoffs went well for you. Now, we all know that fantasy playoffs is a weird time. And a lot of people really hate playoffs and head-to-head, and it ruins the season. I'm all for head-to-head leagues. I love head-to-head leagues. I love playoffs because, to me, it mirrors more of the sport where you say, oh, you know, I'm the best team all year, and then I cop an injury going into the playoffs. That can happen to plenty of teams throughout real sport. You know, best team, you lose your star player on the eve of the finals or the playoffs, forget about it. And that's, you know, it's not a thing that's exclusive to fantasy sports. I know it doesn't crown the best champion or the best team necessarily, but in sports that doesn't always happen as well. The only, you know, real leagues you can look at that do that are the European soccer leagues, like the Premier League, where, you know, you finish on top and you win, and that's it. You know, no playoffs, no knockout. How many times does the best team in the NFL win the Super Bowl? That's never. 1 in 10, maybe. The best team very rarely wins that, and that's very much like head-to-head fantasy basketball, fantasy sports playoffs, and that's why I don't have any issue with that. I was the best team all year and I copped an injury, because that's just the way it goes. And hey, you can't change your league now, but that's exactly how I see these head-to-head leagues and any sort of concern that people have with those sort of things. Got a lot to talk about. There was a lot of games on Monday, some interesting performances. There's a smaller slate on Tuesday, but still games that we need to get into. So, Michael.
Let's get to it.
All right, we will. Let's look at the Instagram and Facebook contests of the day. For Monday's action, we're looking at Luol Deng. How many combined points and rebounds Luol would have? The answer was 25, and someone on Instagram got that right. It was at MacDaddy, which is spelt very fancily, MacDaddee. So congratulations to Mac Daddy. On Facebook, we were looking for Andrew Wiggins. We go the combination of points, rebounds, and assists. The total was 28, and we had three people get that right. Floyd McCune, John Auburn, and Pasha Zolfagari. So congratulations to Floyd, John, Pasha, and Mac Daddy for getting the contests right for Monday's games. Yeah, that's the day. On Tuesday's action, we're going to be looking at Boston Celtics forward on Instagram. We're going to be looking at Evan Turner, combined points, rebounds, and assists. So make sure you're joining, if you already have an Instagram account, by all means, follow at @redrock_bball and leave your guess for Evan Turner in terms of how many combined points, rebounds, and assists he will have. On Facebook, what we're going to look at DeAndre Jordan from the Los Angeles Clippers, points, rebounds, and blocks. So make sure you're leaving your guess on either of those social media sites. Let's get stuck into the monstrous line of the night for Monday, and we're going with Kyle Lowry of the Toronto Raptors. Lowry played 41 minutes. Unfortunately, the Raptors can't get over the Bulls for some reason. They just can't beat Chicago. I'm not really sure what that's about, but that's just the way it seems to be this season. 33 points for Lowry, 2 triples, 11 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 steals, and super efficient as well. 10 of 20 from the field and 11 of 13 from the free throw line. His season has been incredible this year. I don't think anyone could have predicted he'd be a top 10 player. He's almost a top 5 guy. He's ranked 6th on the season. He's improved his scoring up by 4 points a game. He's almost added an extra 3 onto his game. More rebounds, more steals, more blocks, better percentages. Just a massive improvement right across the board from Kyle Lowry. He has been superb, and he would have been a huge draft day steal if you happen to get him. Probably in the second, or probably not even the second, probably the third, maybe even the fourth round for Kyle Lowry. He's been super consistent over the last 5 years, with except for one sort of stinker in the middle there in Toronto. But otherwise, you know, 19th, 15th, 22nd, and now 6th are his rankings, and there was a 57 chucked in there as well. So putting up some big numbers yet again, Lowry. Now, the thing with the Raptors players, they have five games this week. Yes, Lowry played 41 minutes here. There is a massive chance that he does not play on Tuesday, and his five-game week becomes a four-game week. We're going to see that with DeMar DeRozan, I think, as well. You're going to see that with Jonas Valanciunas, who hurt his hand today. These guys are not going to play five games. I would be shocked if they played five games this week. I think four games is still fine, but that elusive five-game week that so many people take into consideration when drafting, it's just not going to materialize. And that's one of the reasons why I do not pay any attention to schedule when I'm drafting, because you don't know what happens with trades, you don't know what happens with injuries, you don't know what happens with situations like this when a five-game week becomes a four-game week. And it just, look, if you guys are literally exactly equal in your draft board and go, these guys are exactly the same, I'm going to take this guy because he has five games, maybe. But by no means do I use that as any sort of method of drafting. I'm drafting all Bulls guys because 1 week during the playoffs they have five games. I'm drafting all Nets guys. I'm drafting all Raptors guys because they're going to be five games 1 week. I'm not drafting any Lakers players because they have a two-game week. You don't know anything that's going to happen. And yes, if the Lakers play two games, it's unlikely they're able to play any more. Well, it's actually impossible they're going to play any more. But the teams with five games, there's huge chances that these guys don't play them, especially at this time of year, and especially if the team's good and sitting pretty. So expect Lowry, DeRozan, Valanciunas, maybe not anyone else. They're obviously the main three players here to sit down at least one of these games this week. The waiver wire line of the night: Tone Douglas of the New Orleans Pelicans. You know my thoughts on Alvin Gentry. They're not good. I don't have high thoughts of him. In a game where they weren't restricting Drew Holiday's minutes, and he moved back to the starting lineup, Tony Douglas played actually more minutes in this one than in the game when Holiday was supposed to be restricted. Now, Holiday only ended up playing 28 minutes. Tone Douglas got 38 here. He had 22 points with 4 triples, 5 rebounds, 8 assists, and 3 steals. That is a very full line. He hit all 6 of his free throws. He is going to be worth using until Norris Cole returns. I'd argue that he's a better player than Norris Cole, and that's not saying much, but when Cole returns, Douglas will go back to that bench role. Now, there is still an opportunity for both of them to have decent minutes, because Luki Babbitt played a huge amount of minutes. He played 35 here. He played 38 in the other game, and that's not something that's going to be able to continue. So Cole can come back and take most of that off Babbitt and still leave Douglas with 30 minutes. He probably won't, but there's literally no other guard. Orlando Johnson's not going to play 22 minutes moving forward because he's terrible. There's a chance that Douglas stays at 25 to 28 minutes. And in your 14-team leagues, that's going to be useful. In the playoffs, you're not looking long-term. If you've got a bye, that's fine. You might be looking to the next week. But you're looking to, what can I do now? And adding Douglas now, or adding for the next time the Pelicans play, it could work out really well, even if it's for one game, even if it's for two games. And then if he goes back to 22 minutes, you get rid of him. It's very much, hey, these guys need to be chopped and changed and moved around. And he is in a role at the moment where you'd think he's going to get significant role and significant usage, especially if Norris Cole remains out. In his last four games, he's ranked almost 60th. He's ranked 61st, which is obviously pretty decent, averaging 14 points, 5.5 assists, 5 rebounds, 2 steals, 2.3 triples. These are all great numbers. And if somehow he's able to stick in that big minute role, he's going to have value. So definitely you can look at Tony Douglas, but remember the specter of Norris Cole looms on the horizon. Young gun of the night. Very happy to announce this one as a Bulls fan. Dougie McDermott had a big, big game. He played 37 minutes off the bench and had 29 points. He went 9 of 11 from the field, but as he is wont to do, he did nothing else. He had 4 triples, 1 rebound, 1 assist, and 1 block. But those elite percentage numbers, you'd be very, very impressed with, as I know I am as a Bulls fan. What do you do with Dougie after this? I don't think you do anything. Jimmy Butler's returned. Derrick Rose is going to be back soon. McDermott has shown himself to be a capable NBA player this year, whereas last season he wasn't even given the chance to show whether he could be capable or not. He's taken a big step up. He's a great source of threes. He can score when he gets the chance. His free throw percentage is immaculate. And he can be a decent shooter as well, but he gives you nothing in those other categories, and that really restricts him in terms of, he's a guy that, hey, I want points, I'm going to add Doug McDermott for one day. And that's really about where he sits. So I don't look at this and go, whew, he's going to be able to shoot 80% from the field from now on and give me 20 points and four triples a night. No chance. You leave him for your 14, maybe 16 team leagues and just look at this as a real bonus. The dart of the night. Now, I don't want to... You know, at the start of the season, a lot of players who I didn't believe in were playing well. And I was doubting myself to a degree. Going, what world are we living in where Kent Bazemore and Will Barton are good players? It turns out we're living in the same world that we were last season and the season before, where they're not good players, because they aren't. And Will Barton has fallen in a dramatic hole. He hasn't fallen in a hole. He's actually gone back to being Will Barton. Now, a lot of people love him. There is an irrational love for Will Barton. I put him in the Tony Roten, Lance Stevenson, Kent Bazemore class of players who everyone loves. And I think it's some of the flashy nature of their play, but he's just not good. And he's really not good at the moment. He is the dud of the night, Will Barton. 0 points, 0 threes, 0 assists, 0 steals, 0 blocks, 0 of 6 from the field. He did have 4 rebounds, but lots and lots of zeros for William Barton. Will Barton's rank on the season is 77th. That's good. You'd say, Josh, you're a dick. He's ranked 77th. He's a top 100 player. How can he be no good? Well, he's no good for a number of reasons. He was riding some ridiculous shooting at the start of the season to keep him up there. Over the last month, he is ranked 202nd. Over the last 2 months, he's ranked 125th. And for 125th, that means he's not a 10-team league guy, and that means he's a borderline 12-team league guy. His per 36 stats for the last 2 months are almost identical to what they were last season. They're not quite there, but they're pretty close. And it's because his shooting has dropped back to what we anticipate. He shot 43 last season. He's at 41 over the last 2 months. Early this season, he was at like 47, and he was shooting like 40% from three. Well, the last 2 months have seen him drop back to 27% from three, which is what he shot last season, and 30% the year before. He has dropped back significantly. Mike Malone's trust in him has eroded, and that's fair enough because Gary Harris, you know, my man Gaz, has been the better player, I think, for majority of the season, and he will be the better player for this team. I know a lot of people will disagree with me when talking about Will Barton. There was a lot of talk for him being the sixth man of the year to start the season. That was ludicrous, in my opinion. I did give in at one point and said, okay, maybe he is good. I could never actually buy it or believe it fully because everything just told me that this guy is not good, and I couldn't understand how this was happening. But it's all starting to sort of come back to how it was before for Barton, and it's not great. To me, he's not someone, if I'm in a 10-team league, he is not someone that I'm owning. And I think when we see these guys who put up hot streaks to start seasons and are shooting just well above career numbers, that it's something that's probably not sustainable. Some players will, but majority of it won't. And Bazemore's one of those guys. Barton's one of those guys. Another guy who's been marginally like that, or has seen his stats drop off a little bit as well recently, not to nowhere near the same degree, is CJ McCollum, who has started off the season as a top 30 player. The last month he's outside the top 50. The last 2 weeks he's outside the top 70. He is starting to regress a little bit as well. Now, I don't think McCollum is a bad player, but I think he was also playing above his head to start the season. But Barton is not a player who I think is good, and it's starting to sort of come back to that way again. Like, he might bounce completely back, and Bazemore might do the same. But at this point in the season, in the playoffs, to me, he feels a lot like dead weight. So Will Barton is your dud of the night. Let me know your thoughts on William, whether you disagree with me. I'm sure plenty of you will. Will you actually think he's good or not? And what your thoughts are on Barton, because I'm just, I'm just not a fan. I just don't think, I'm sure he's a good bloke, just not a fan of his basketball game and the accolades and the praise that was being heaped on him to start the season. It just didn't really work with me. I didn't really understand it, but here we go. All right, let's look at the perfect DFS lineup from Monday. Point guard, Kyle Lowry, 59.7, and Russ Westbrook, 59. Both those guys putting up huge lines, obviously. At shooting guard, a couple of cheap options. Etwan Moore, 31.8. He got the extra run with Derrick Rose out. And my boy, Joshy Richardson, 33.8. Can I officially claim him as my man? I think I have to. If you've heard anyone else talk Josh Richardson as much as I have this season, please let me know. But I'm officially claiming Josh Richardson as my man. He is putting up big numbers. We're going to talk about him a little bit later. Small forwards, Chandler Parsons, 46.8. He was always in a pretty decent spot. PJ Tucker at 46.9. No chance in hell that I would have had him in a lineup. He has been beyond putrid, but he turned in a career performance. Not something you could really expect at all. Power forwards, Dirk at 40.7. And Ken Fareed, the same Ken Fareed who's struggled to play 20 minutes the last couple of games, put up a perfect 11 of 11 shooting performance for a big line and 41.2 points, while Dwight Howard went for 39.1. That lineup would have netted you 399 FanDuel points, which would have been pretty handy, I'm guessing. All right, let's have a quick break for a word from one of our sponsors, and then we'll be back to review these games from Monday. All right, guys, we are back. There was 9 games that we've got to get to, so let's get stuck into those right now. The first one of those was the Dallas Mavericks and the Charlotte Hornets. The Mavericks with a huge road win here for their playoff chances. Chandler Parsons was massive, 24-9-4. He had 5 triples, had 3 assists. No, he didn't. He had 3 steals and a block on superb 9-of-14 shooting. Parsons has been really good in the second half of the season, and he was a guy that if he didn't have that injury, he's a real chance to have been a top 50 guy this season. But it took him so long to get back from this injury. Now he's really starting to put up the numbers, and in fact, over the last 2 months, Parsons is a top 30 player. Over the last 3 months, he's a top 50 player. So we're seeing exactly what he can do. He is going to command some serious money in free agency. And he is, I know Dirk's a legend, but Chandler Parsons is the Mavs' best player at this point of the season. I don't know if there's much doubt of that. He is averaging 19 points a game over the last month, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 2.7 triples, 1.1 steals, half a block, shooting 53% from the field, and he's got his free throws up at 79% as well over that time frame. Only 67 for the season, but a real resurgence from him over the last month. And Parsons putting up big numbers, and if you're in a 9 category league, he turns it over less than 2 times per game. So Parsons is really developing, and I think it's not a situation where he's getting much shine, but he's doing great. The Mavs moved Zaza Pachulia to the bench, and he played 6 minutes for 2 points and 2 rebounds. You can go ahead and kick his ass out of your team very quickly if you haven't already. I'll say it again, I don't understand why he's the only one that's subject to resting. I thought he's had a brilliant season for the Mavs, much better than anything that David Lee can do. But Lee played 26 minutes here. No one else seems to be subject to rest apart from Zaza Pachulia. It is a weird situation, but it is what it is. Do you go and add David Lee? You know my thoughts on that. He was 12 of 7 on 6 of 8 shooting, which again is just, it's just not sustainable. He is a fine 12 team league add as the worst guy on your roster. And then when he plays, you move him out for someone who plays the next day. I don't grab him and hold on to me. Oh my God, I've got David Lee. I'm the best. I feel so lucky. I don't think he can do anything like that. Dirk had a huge game again, 23-11, 2 blocks and a 3. I thought Dirk was finished. I thought he was his Eurobasket performance was atrocious. I thought we're seeing the downside of Dirk coming in. It's the slow decline. But nah, I'm wrong. He's just the same old Dirk, just chunking. That's not the right word. Just churning out the numbers at a consistent level. Darren Williams had 15-5 with a steal, a block, and a 3, also known as a triple one. Well, Ray Felton, he got the start in place of Zaza, played 32 minutes, only the 9 points, took 11 shots, but had 3 rebounds, 12 assists, 3 steals, and a triple. Now, he's been getting the minutes for most of the season, hasn't been able to convert that into production, so I'm not rushing to add Ray Felton, but another game of 30-plus minutes, he does come in under the radar. Devin Harris had 12 points in his 21 minutes, and not a lot else happening with the bench, apart from Wes Matthews, who he wasn't on the bench. He started, but he was terrible. 38 minutes for Wes, 5-5 with a triple. This is the greatest advertisement for what Achilles injuries do to players. It is, and Mario Chalmers is going to suffer significantly. Now, he's younger than Wes, but Wes came back. He played, he didn't miss games. He's just been terrible, and there's a lot that's gone wrong with Wes's season this season. Onto the Hornets. Now this guy is one of my men as well, but I'm not the only person to love Nick Batum. 40 minutes for Batum, 20 points, 3 rebounds, 7 assists, almost had a triple-triple-one, 3 threes, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. Superb percentages. I could not be higher on Nick Batum. And remember, we talk about players who people love. He is a player that people hate. There were people wanting to drop him in January and February. You can't drop him. Nick Batum is an elite NBA player. He is an elite fantasy player. To me, he should have been very, very close to an all-star berth, either him or Kemba. The injury probably hurt Batum, but he has been fantastic, and he's going to make a lot of money as well. Kemba was great too, 25-4-9, 2 threes, 2 steals, and a block, and this surprising Charlotte Hornets team is led by these two guys. Courtney Lee actually producing a little bit more now, 31 minutes, 12-3, 2 triples and 2 steals. Do you 12-team him? And by 12-team him, I don't mean that you get 12 people going in on him at once. I mean that do you add him in 12-team leagues? That was awkward. Probably not. Yeah, he's got great value in the aggregate. Oh, look at Courtney Lee. He doesn't turn it over. He just gives me these solid numbers. But at this point of the year, I want more bang. I want more explosion. I don't think I'm going to get that from Courtney Lee. I'm just going to get him chugging along and doing little bits, and then he'll have 6 points in one game. There's other ways to go about it. Marv Williams, 19-7 with a triple and a block. In his 33 minutes, his remarkable season continued. Cody Zeller, he played 27 minutes and had 1 point. 9 rebounds and a steal. That's not a good night, but the most important thing is there, he played 27 minutes. Al Jefferson played 21 minutes. Now, Jefferson played 30 in the last game, and a lot of people were seeing that as saying, oh, look at that, Al Jeff, 30 minutes, he's back, it's on, 30 minutes, pick him up. No, he played 30 minutes because Zeller was in foul trouble, and Zeller is going to continue to start for this team for the rest of the season. I will be stunned if Jefferson takes the starting job or plays more minutes regularly over Zeller. I will be stunned if that's the case. Now, you shouldn't own Zeller in 12-10 leagues, and I don't think you should own Jefferson, who was okay here, 7-4 with a steal and a block on 1 of 3 shooting. He'll have good games, he'll have stinkers. He's not a 12-team league guy to me. Denver and Miami. Ken Fareed, 24-11 in just 26 minutes with 2 assists and 11 of 11 shooting. That is a huge, huge bump for your field goal percentage. It really puts you at a significant boost to start off the week at that sort of number. Do I trust him to continue to do that? Absolutely not. He can't get anywhere near 30 minutes most nights. And on most nights, read every night, he's not going to shoot 11 of 11. That's just not who he is. He doesn't do enough for me. I think he's an overrated NBA player, and he should be owned still. But this is just a lucky night. Nikola Jokic, 28 minutes. Again, just doing everything. 12-8-4, a 3, 2 steals, a block, 5 of 10 shooting. Love this kid. Gaz Harris, my other man, 18-3-2 with 3 steals in 34 minutes. He has to be owned absolutely everywhere. And the other guy who is really coming along is Emmanuel Mudiay. 23 points, 3 rebounds, 10 assists, and 2 threes. He was electric in Summer League, showed great court vision, speed, explosion. He's a massive dude. And it's taken him a while for things to come together, and they haven't fully come together, but the improvements in his game have been significant, and he's able to stay on the court for longer. He's able to put up more numbers. His percentages have risen to a degree. Now he's shooting 36% on the season from the field. That's terrible. The last 2 weeks, 46. The last month, 41. 41 is almost passable. You know, from the line, he's at 65%. The last month, 77%. These are big increases. The last month, less than 3 turnovers a game. These are big numbers, big increases. He's shooting 42% from 3 over the last 2 weeks. That feels a little inflated, but 37% over the last month, 35% over the last 2 months. These are big numbers. He was less than 30% for big chunks of this season. Mudiay gets it. He gets the NBA now. He's in for a massive season next season, I reckon, Mudiay. He looks like he is going to be a real star. I can't say enough good things about him. It took time, and we knew it was going to take time transitioning from China with the deficiencies in his game, but it looks like he's picked them up pretty quickly, and I expect a pretty big season out of Mudiay next season. DJ Augustine, still productive. 25 minutes for DJ, 13 points, 3 assists, and 2 steals, and him and Mudiay playing together works really well. It's better than playing Barton out there. It's better than playing Jakar Sampson. These two guys work off each other well. You can own Augustine in 12-team leagues. My boy Jakar Sampson, he's not actually my boy. 23 minutes, 8 points with a steal. Cool. And Yusuf Nurkic out of this one with Joffrey Lavernier able to take his place with the busted up face. 10 points for Lavernier in 12 minutes. Nurkic, no playing time whatsoever. Obviously, that little explosion he had the other night when Lavernier went down and Jokic was battling foul trouble was literally just due to those two factors. Axel Toupin played 13 minutes and had 4 points, not the defensive fest that we had the other day from Toupin, but he showed that he can actually stick in this league, which is good for him. The Heat, Joshy Rich, 33 minutes, 17 points, 4 triples, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 3 blocks. 6 of 10 shooting. Does it get any better than that? That's an incredible line. I've been on this kid for such a long time. He is ranked in the last week 28th. He is ranked in the last 2 weeks 87th. He is ranked in the last month 93rd. You need to look at him in 12-team leagues. His minutes are not going away. His production is increasing. He gives you big steals, big threes. He can score. His field goal percentage is out of control. I don't know how well that stays up at 54% over the last month, but it's across 14 games that's been happening. He is worth looking at in 12-team leagues. Absolutely. He has dismissed Gerald Green from the rotation. He has dismissed Josh McRoberts from the rotation. He is doing a lot for this team, and it is showing up on the stat sheet. I love Richardson. I think there's so much to like about him. When Dwayne Wade leaves, I can see him becoming the starting shooting guard for this team. I know that feels like high praise, and I don't say he's going to become the next Dwayne Wade, but when Wade leaves, I think they go, we're good. We're just going to put Joshy Rich in as our starting shooting guard, and he's going to do it. And I'm convinced they've had that thought from very, very early on. They were rapt to get him in the draft. They've talked nothing but good things about him. They've traded players away to get him more minutes. They love Richardson, and I wouldn't be shocked if he is your starting shooting guard for the Miami Heat in the 2017 season. Lual Deng, his resurgence continues, 17-8 with a couple of steals, and Hassan Whiteside, 18-10 with a block in 31 minutes off the bench. Well, Justice Winslow, another rookie from the Heat, had a career-high 20 points. He had 2 steals, 3 rebounds, and a 3. I don't imagine that scoring is going to continue, but he has trended up the last couple of games. 14-team leagues is where it's at for him. Joey Johnson, 18-2-5 with a couple of triples. Dwayne Wade, 19-2-5 with 2 steals. And Goran Dragic went 11-2-8, the mainstays of the Heat there. Josh McRoberts actually did get into the rotation here. He played 6 minutes, but that's not really important. The Chicago Bulls and the Toronto Raptors. There was no Powell. There was no Mike Dunleavy, who was dealing with an illness. And Derrick Rose was out with that adductor strain. So the Bulls had to run out a starting lineup comprising Jimmy Butler, Justin Holiday, Nikola Mirotic, Etuan Moore, and Taj Gibson. Now, Gibson played 35 minutes. He went 13-10 with a steal and a block. Solid numbers. He's a solid 12-team league guy, especially this week while Powell is out. Nikola Mirotic, exactly what we know he can do. And a lot of people do doubt that he knows how to play basketball. To them, I say, come on. I was reminded listening to something today. I don't remember what it was. I think it may have been Quo Vadimus with Jared Dubin, that Mirotic was the runner-up for the Rookie of the Year last year. Runner-up. I don't think many people realize that. This is how good this kid is. 17-5-2, 3 triples, a steal, and a block. If he was able to get minutes like this all season, you would have a top 50 fantasy guy on your hands. He has been misused. The front court rotation has been mismanaged with the Bulls. The Bulls run much better. As good as Pau Gasol has been, the pairing of Mirotic and Gibson is a great one. Mirotic and Noah would have been a great one as well. And Mirotic, assuming the Bulls don't make the mistake and bring Pau Gasol back next season, Mirotic is going to be a guy who you're going to get at a significant bargain in fantasy drafts, because people are going to be, oh, this guy killed me. He's trash. Garbage. And he's going to be good. I'm convinced he's going to be good. Etuan Moore was good, 31 minutes, 17-4-4 with a triple and a block. 8 of 11 shooting, probably a little bit unrealistic, but some nice numbers there. As soon as Rose comes back, it's going to be tough to hold on to Moore. And by tough, I mean don't do it. 14 minutes for Justin Holiday, hit in 5 points, a triple. Not much to see there. Bob Portis played 23 minutes, 6-7. You need a lot to happen for Portis to become standard league relevant. And Jim Butler returned. He played 34 minutes. That's sort of a success in terms of limiting his minutes. 13-5-6 with 2 blocks on 5 of 18 shooting. He will be better than that, I've got no doubt. And the Bulls were that injured, they actually had to play Tony Snell some minutes. You know, things are bad in that situation. For the Raptors, I touched on it earlier, Jonas Valanciunas suffered a hand injury. Thankfully, it is just a bruise, not a fracture. So he might miss a game, he might miss Tuesday's game, but that's going to be about it, most likely. With him out, Bismack Biyombo played 26 minutes and he put up the Satan line. 6.6 rebounds, 6 blocks. He is going to be a great block and rebound source. You can go and add him, stream him in for Tuesday if Valanciunas happens to be out. After that, you can probably get rid of him. DeMar DeRozan, 27-5, 2 assists and a steal. Big numbers from him. And Pat played 32 minutes, 13-6 with 3 triples and 2 assists. he's sneaking up into your 12-team conversation. He was dreadful for all of the season, but he's starting to get things cracking at the moment, and this is the most important time to pay attention to it. With Valanciunas sidelined, Jason Thompson played 12 minutes. He went 7-4 with a steal, so your 20-team leaguers, you're going to want to add him if Valanciunas sits. Luis Scola, 16 minutes, nothing there. Jim Johnson started again, played 17 minutes and had two blocks and nothing else. And Corey Joseph was quiet in his 26 minutes, scoring 6 points. Terrence Ross, also pretty quiet, 3 points in his 18 minutes. And these guys are more your 14-team league sort of players. The Memphis Grizzlies and the Houston Rockets, they were down by about 60 at one point. The Grizzlies ended up losing by 49, just 49. More injuries there. Lance Stephenson with a wrist issue missed this game, so they are in a lot of trouble. I tell you who's no good, Bronte Weber. He played 35 minutes and had 3-7-3 with two steals. He gets a lot of steals, I'll give him that. But Ray McCallum is going to assume this starting role. Now, McCallum's no great shakes either, but he's better than Weber. 28 minutes for McCallum, 5-2-4 with two steals. If Lance Stephenson's not available, then McCallum is the guy you want to go and add in 12-team leagues. Matty Barnes, only 25 minutes, 14-7. Jarrell Martin, 17-8 in 29 minutes. And another guy who probably got people a little excited, Jermichael Green, has really struggled the last two games. A lot of his numbers were not going to be easy to replicate. His per 36 numbers didn't look all that sexy, but he was putting up big numbers. He has stunk the last two games. He was 4 of 17 here, going 9-4-2 in 28 minutes. As soon as Randolph comes back, he's done, he's toast. And even at the moment, you have to consider not dealing with him, especially with Alex Stephenson playing okay. Now, Stephenson had 12 points and 15 rebounds, but he was almost as bad with his shot. He was 5 of 17 from the field, and he was 2 of 8 from the free throw line. So 7 of 25 of all shots that he took, that is obviously horrendous for Stephenson. PJ Hairston also got injured in this game. He hurt his groin. He lasted 18 minutes. The Grizzlies are in a stack of trouble. Tone Allen just 5-5 in 26 minutes with three steals. He's going to have to play big minutes, assuming. Imagine the next game. We might not have Hairston, Carter, Conley, Stevenson, Randolph, Wright, Hairston. You might have all those guys out. So you're going to have stacks of minutes for Barnes, McCallum, Green will get more minutes. Jarrell Martin will get more minutes. You can stream in some of these Grizzlies guys, but there's just the stats are so weird. Like Jarrell Martin went 9 of 10 from the free throw line today. That's so unrealistic for it to keep happening. He went 4 of 12 from the field. Like these are just bullshit numbers. I feel sorry for this team. I feel like they're going to be in the playoffs and they're going to lose their draft pick and they're going to get pumped by whoever plays them, destroyed. They should just lose every game from here on out, get out of the playoffs, keep their draft pick, recuperate everyone, just get out of the playoffs. What's the point of them getting it? Oh, yes, okay, you get some revenue, but they are going to get absolutely humiliated in the playoffs, unless they play Cleveland, who apparently they can beat when they've got no players. The Rockets, minutes. They're spread all over the place. You don't love it if you own Jim Harden and you're heading into your playoffs, 15-7-8. A steal, 3 blocks, and 2 triples is nice, but you would have hoped he could have gone for 30 or 35 here. The big talking point, though, is Mike Beasley. 27 minutes for Beasley, 11-9, but he had 3 steals, a block, and a triple. They're obviously great numbers. Now, he's done nothing in the other games prior to that, aside from scoring and rebounding, so I'm a little bit skeptical of his ability to put up these peripheral numbers, but I'll tell you this, he's better than Josh Smith. He's much better than Terrence Jones, who was a healthy scratch before the game even started. He's going to get more run than Clint Capella. He's going to get more run than Montrezl Harrell. And he's probably going to get more run than Donatas Motiejunas, although Motiejunas was awesome in this game. 18-6, a triple, 2 assists, and a steal. He only played 21 minutes. I'm not adding him just yet, but this is definitely a step in the right direction. You watch Motiejunas. If he gets to 25 or 26, you want to make sure you're grabbing him because he is the best player of that bunch by a significant margin. He can't get much of a read, really, on what happened in this game due to the blowout of it. Pat Beverley was good, though, 10-5-6 with 3 steals and 2 triples. He needed that after an off night the other night. And KJ McDaniels is back officially in the rotation now. 10 to 12 minutes, doing nothing with it, but he's at least seeing the court. Portland and OKC, huge win for OKC, a smashing. The Blazers have been smashed in the last couple of games by the Warriors and the Thunder. Dame Lillard was good but not great, 21-2-4 with 3 triples, and CJ McCollum 15-3 with an assist and a steal and a triple. Again, not great numbers from either of those guys. In fact, the whole Portland team, I could just say not great. The minutes were spread again all over the place here, with Chris Kamen even seeing 10 minutes. Pat Connaughton saw 8 minutes. That's how you know the game was a smashing. Myers Leonard played 19, had 3 points. He was approaching 12-team value. But a game like this obviously is not ideal. And Al-Farouq Aminu is hitting threes at a much improved rate lately. 11 points with two triples and 3 rebounds. I do not trust him to continue it, so I reckon you can find better 12-team league guys. Russ Westbrook, another triple-double for him on the Thunder side. 17, 10, and 16, 2 steals and a block. Kev Durant went 25 and 7, and much like their opposition, they could spread their minutes out. They could rest guys. You know how much of a smashing this was? Campaign got 21 minutes. I love it. 6, 4, and 3 for Payne, but is it going to happen in a game that matters? Let's hope so. Nazir Muhammad played 7 minutes. That's how much this was a blowout. Enes Kanter just does it again. 26 and 7, 2 steals. He is on a massive, massive hot streak at the moment. He is probably one of the best percentage players for centers in the league. He does both percentages brilliantly. He is a top 100 player over the last month. He's a top 100 player over the last 2 months. Even in limited minutes, you have to consider him, especially if you're valuing your percentages, because he is going to not only not hurt them, but he is going to raise them. And he's a double-double threat in 21, 22 minutes. I don't love him, and these numbers over his last four, they're just ludicrous. 17 and 11 with a steal on 68 and 100 in 22 minutes. If we look at his per 36 numbers this season, they are out of control. 21.5 points, 13.5 rebounds on 57 and 80. They're brilliant numbers. He's top 30 in per 36 value. He's top 10 in per 36 value over the last month. We saw what he did last year playing 30 minutes down the stretch for the Thunder when he was a legitimate top 20 player. He's never going to be that with the way this team runs, but he does have that talent. For now, I'm all for it. Add him and see what happens. There will be some potholes along the way, most definitely. But it's very hard to ignore what he's doing. Serge Ibaka had a mild bounce back, 15 and 7 with 3 blocks and a triple. That's more what you expect from him in only 26 minutes. So that's pretty pretty decent performance from Serge. The Detroit Pistons and the Washington Wizards, 40-point loss to the Pistons. This is horrible. And again, we look at it from fantasy and we go, Jesus, look at all these minutes just completely reduced. The best thing I see here is Stan Johnson played 26. 4, 6, and 4 for Stan with 2 steals and a block. 2 of 11 shooting is clearly not ideal, but he got the minutes and his shoulder must be back in action. So that's obviously good news in that sort of situation. So your 14-teamers, you want to start looking at Stan. Reggie Jackson had 5 fouls in just 19 minutes. That's not good. Toby Harris was limited. In fact, this whole box score, just look at it and go, cool, these guys sucked, whatever, let's move on to the next one. On the Wizards side of things, Otto Porter had another decent game, 11, 6, and 3, a three, a steal, and two blocks. Pretty nice numbers. He'd been putrid in the last two games. He's been decent. With Brad Beal back, you can add him, but I'm really not holding my breath. 25 minutes for Beal, 12, 5, and 3 with two steals and two triples. And Marcin Gortat played 25 and went 16 and 6. And Markieff Morris, 14, 4, and 3 with a steal, a block, and two triples. I still believe in Markieff Morris. People won't, but that is a great line in just 24 minutes. Again, just another complete blowout that, reading it, it doesn't tell you a huge amount by looking at these box scores in too much detail. The next game, actually a close game and a competitive game between the Timberwolves and the Phoenix Suns. Rick Rubio tore apart their backcourt, 13, 3, and 17, 4 steals and a triple. The shooting, not good as per usual, but 6 of 6 from the free throw line. Sort of troubling thing today from some Timberwolves people on Twitter talking about how they are convinced that Sam Mitchell will be back to coach next season. And I shuddered a little bit reading that, but they are absolutely convinced that Sam Mitchell will be back because of the way that ownership runs things, which is completely frightening for this team. We go 22-4-2, two steals and a block, really starting to put together those numbers that have lacked so much over his career so far, really starting to get things cracking. If we look at his numbers recently, he is a top 40 player over the last 2 weeks. He's in the top 70 over the last month, and he's just creeped inside the top 100 for the season. So he is really starting to get these numbers going, and once he gets the steals happening, gets some more rebounds, hits a three a game, then we're talking top 50, top 40 overall talent. I was quite skeptical of it happening, but it has started happening at the moment. Let's hope that he can continue that and keep that efficiency up, because that's something that has really dragged him down this season. Zach LaVine had a big game, 28 points, not a lot else, but great percentages and three triples. Gorgui Dieng, 12-9 with three steals and two blocks. And Karl Anthony Towns went 17-10. And as per usual, not a lot of contribution from their bench. Shabazz Muhammad had 10 points in 23 minutes, but he has very little fantasy appeal. The Suns, PJ Tucker, 40 minutes, 23-12, three threes, five assists, two steals. Cool. It's just not going to happen again. Sorry, he's just been putrid, and that is just not going to happen. Mirza Teletovic broke out of a slump to hit the game-winning three, had 30 minutes, 21-8 with five triples. Not believing in that. I want to see that again. 14-team leaguers, and you want some triples, go and add him and see what cracks from there. Devin Booker, 43 minutes, 16-3-5 with a triple. Continues to put up nice numbers. Look, obviously, he's a must-own player at the moment. Alex Len, not the best night. Foul trouble limited him to a degree. 9-11 with a couple of assists. And Brandon Knight went 8-4-7 with two steals and two threes. So not a great shooting night, going 3 of 18. But you like the assists, you like the steals, you like the triples from Brandon. Obviously, Ronnie Price down to 4 minutes, which is fantastic. Archie Goodwin played 9, and Chase Buttinger played 8 minutes in this one. Cleveland and Utah, the Jazz with a massive, massive victory here. LeBron, 23-12, three assists, two triples. Kevin Love, 12-9 with two threes. And Kyrie went 15-4-3 with two steals, a block, and a triple. So good numbers from those guys. Poor shooting from Irving and Love. And Channing Frye just continually chiming in with numbers where you have to look at him and go, where do I start looking to add Channing Frye? 7 points with a triple, four rebounds, two assists, and two blocks. Now, where do I add him? The answer is probably not 12-team leagues. But over the last 2 weeks, he's 120th ranked player because he's hitting you over two threes a game. He's giving you half a block on 61% shooting. That is unrealistic. He will not continue to shoot at 61%. He might still give you two triples a game, but I would be doubtful. I would look at him in a 16-team league, and that's probably about it. If you think that the hotness can continue, maybe in a 14-teamer, but it feels just like it's not going to keep on going at that sort of rate. J.R. Smith, 5 points in 29 minutes. He's real tough to hold on to at the moment. Tim Mozgov played 16 minutes, and Tristan Thompson played 20. A real interesting situation with Frye rejoining that mix at center, and that's going to limit Thompson moving forward. The Jazz. Sheldon Mack, 17-7-10, three triples and a steal. He was terrible to start things off with the Jazz. He is kicking it into high gear. He is not a good player. He's an average player, but he's in a very nice situation at the moment. He should be owned. It might not last for long, but you have to own him at this point. Rod Hood was great. 28 points with four triples, two rebounds, and an assist, and great percentages as well. Huge, huge, huge high hopes for him. And Derek Favors, 19-5 with three blocks in his 32 minutes. Rudy Gobert, 5 points, 11 rebounds, two assists, and a block. And no block. He's been really bad. Just really bad, and mainly really bad because people picked him at the start of the second round. That was not the right spot to pick him. You had to pair him with the right punt build and the right players, and he has just been a real disappointment this season. And you know, a lot of people were doubting me when I said, look, just really watch Rudy Gobert. I don't think he's worth a pick in the second round. You need to be very, very specific with your team build. If you're grabbing him, do not just grab him and think that he fits everything, because he fits very, very few teams. And I think we're seeing that come to fruition now. Gordon Hayward was out of this one, so that made the victory for the Jazz all the more important. Now, he's dealing with plantar fasciitis. I think the Jazz, he's not going to have the luxury of sitting, because the Jazz need to push and get this playoff spot. I think it costs him a couple more games, though. I reckon we see two more games missed from Hayward. Whether you drop him is a very individual situation. I would not be dropping him unless I'm just absolutely desperate now to get these games played. I would be holding at least until the Jazz play next to see what goes on. But there's a chance you might have to drop him. Joe Ingles started in place, Red Rocks' own Joe Ingles, started in place of Gordon Hayward. 6 points, five rebounds, four assists, and two triples. He is a deep league assists and threes guy if he continues to start when Hayward is out. And by deep leagues, I mean in a 16-team league, 14-team league, you'd have to look at Joe Ingles in that sort of situation. The Pelicans and the Golden State Warriors. Tone Davis, 22-12 in 29 minutes with a couple of blocks and a steal. Decent night from him. Alonzo G had 4 steals in his 31 minutes. He is not a fantasy contributor, nor is Dante Cunningham, who had 2 points in 21 minutes. Omar Asik, a healthy scratch in this one. That's probably about right. Ryan Anderson played 31 minutes. He had 19 and 4, and Drew Holiday 13, 4 and 4 in his 28 minutes. Now, he was back starting. He didn't need to extend himself because they were getting smashed, and that's fine. Luke Babbitt, who I touched on earlier, played 35 minutes, went 12 and 5 with 2 steals. That's 2 big games in a row from Babbitt. Where do you look to add him? You're probably looking at a 14-team league, maybe, if you've got someone to drop, but when Norris Cole returns, I think his value drops out significantly. For the Warriors, Steph, 27, 5 and 5 with 4 threes and 2 steals. Draymond went 14, 12 and 4 with 3 blocks, and Klay had 18 points, including 2 triples. So the main guys really getting at it there. What about my boy Harry Barnes? 6 points in 32 minutes. He did have 3 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals and a block, which isn't, it's not something to be completely dismissed. But his general play is he's not worth owning in 12-team leagues, especially at this point. Andy Bogut gave you a 3-pointer in his 15 minutes, had 5 points, 4 rebounds, and 3 assists with a block. He only played 15 minutes, though. Again, the same rules about owning him in 12-team leagues are appearing here. It's just tough, and it's just you have to take the hits with the lumps, and most of the time the lumps outweigh it. Maurice Spates was at his high-scoring best, 14 and 7 in just 18 minutes. He is a great deep league add for points because in a deep league, it's real tough to grab a guy off a waiver wire who can chime in with points in limited minutes, and he is that guy. That is all the games done from Monday. I am going to take a quick break, and then we're going to be back to preview Tuesday's games for DFS. I saw you. Tuesday. The first one we're looking at is the Boston Celtics and the Indiana Pacers. The Pacers are favored by 2, and the total is 207.5 points. We've got no Jay Crowder from the Celtics. Kelly Olynyk is questionable to return, and on the Pacers side of things, we're looking at Ty Lawson, who's questionable, and George Hill is probable with a sore toe. Let's start with the point guards. With Jay Crowder out, I imagine we're going to see a lot more Marcus Smart. He's priced at 4,600. He has had a 36-point game in his last 5. I think that he could be a really interesting tournament option here. His performance of late has not been good. 13 points across his last 3, 18 across his last 5, including a 36-point game. His last 5 also includes a 4-point game. But I think that he is a really interesting tournament guy here who can go for 30-plus and could have an expanded role with Crowder. We saw in the last game where Crowder missed, Terry Rozier got 10 minutes as that rebounding point guard or rebounding guard to add in a smaller lineup, and Smart is going to benefit from that in this one, I think. Isaiah Thomas at 7,900, that's a nice price for him. He'll have to take on some extra responsibilities without Crowder as well. I think 40 points for him, it shouldn't be a crazy thing to look at. George Hill with that toe issue, I'm not going to be using him. He's at 5,300. He hasn't been really hitting that value anyway, and with a sore toe, no thanks. Shooting guards. There's not many good low-price shooting guards on the board at all across this slate. Rod Stuckey's at 3,500. He had 2 points in the last one. He was dealing with a sore foot. Definitely not going back to that well. 6,600 from Monte Ellis. Tough against the Celtics backcourt to expect him to go for 30 plus. on the other side, Avery Bradley at 52. He's always a tournament option, but the Pacers have been quite good at restricting shooting guards, so he's definitely not someone I'm really looking at in a cash game spot. Small forwards, though, there is some value here on the Celtics side, especially. Evan Turner's at 5,900. He is going to play, you know, maybe extra 2 to 3 minutes with Crowder out. He dropped 35 in the last game in just 30 minutes. Paul George is a tough guard, but it's fair to say that Evan Turner and the Pacers, that marriage didn't go so well. So there is a little bit, probably from both sides, to be honest, a little bit of animosity happening there. So Turner at 5,900, I reckon 30 points, given his diversity of what he can do, it should feel okay. Paulie George, 8,700, just hasn't been awesome lately. His recent average is a bit skewed by the fact that he had a 21-point game when they got smashed by the Hawks, but he's still averaging 43 across his last five, including that. At 8,700, and without Jay Crowder on him, I feel okay if I'm going to spend up at that position with using him. CJ Miles got some extra minutes in the last game and put up 9 points, so that's not all that good. Power forwards. Miles Turner is at 5,000. He's back on track. He's averaged over 26 in his last three games, dropped 30 in the last one. They're a really nice matchup against the Celtics front court. I like using him a lot here. 6,600 for Jared Sullinger. Really want to smash that if Olynyk is out, which he could be. Sullinger put up 56 in the last game. He's averaging over 35 in the last five. I reckon he is a pretty nice guy to have a look at. Jonas Jerebko, Amir Johnson, Lavoy Allen, Jordan Mickey. Not much to really get overly excited about with those guys. At center, Jan Mahinmi's at 5,100. I like Jan Mahinmi, but at 5,100, that feels a little expensive. Jordan Hill is always a punt option at 39 because he can turn in a big game occasionally. It just won't happen often enough. And obviously, using Kelly Olynyk when he hasn't even returned from injury is probably not a good idea. Denver and Orlando is the next one we're going to look at. There's no spread release for this one because Orlando is dealing with quite a few injuries. We have Ersan Ilyasova, who's probable with a leg issue, and Brandon Jennings is probable with that Achilles soreness. But the big two, Lord Alfred Payton is questionable with his elbow. Nick Vucevic is questionable with his sore groin. Neither of these guys practiced, and I would say it's very unlikely we see them play in this game. Point guards. Emmanuel Mudiay. He's at 6,100. He dropped a massive bomb today, 37-point game. He's averaging averaging 31 across his last five. There is a bit of volatility in him, but if Peyton's out, as we expect, he's going to be matching up with Brandon Jennings and CJ Watson. I think he can tear the Magic a couple of new ones, in fact. So I do like using Mudiay here. Peyton, not going to use him. CJ Watson might see himself get 30 minutes, which at 3,600 might be appealing, and he would be an interesting tournament guy if you want to stack your roster with some other high-priced players. DJ Augustine's at 4,300. Now, he's given you a constant 20 points, but at 4,300, that's almost what he needs to, so it doesn't scream great value to me. And if Peyton misses, I'm still not going to be using Brandon Jennings. Shooting guards. Where are we? Okay. William Barton. He's at 5,900. Do you want to take that risk? I don't. You might throw him in a tournament, but really his performances lately, averaging 24 across his last five, have not been great at all. Vic Oladipo at 7,000. If Peyton's out, the usage for him and the ball handling for him more to the point should increase. So I expect over 30 points for him. He's averaging 33 points, Oladipo, across his last five. I think that he's got 40, 45 point upside here. Gaz Harris, 5,200. Definitely fine with using him. He's a 27 guy across his last five games, which is great at 5,200. He's got 30, 35 point upside. Gaz is definitely someone to pay attention to, and the matchup is not all that tough against the Magic. Small forwards, Evan Fournier gets a boost if Peyton is out as well. 5,600 for Fournier. You should be able to get 27 points out of him, so I think he is a really nice guy to look at. Mario Hezonja will get run if it's a blowout, but I don't imagine the Nuggets really smashing the Magic. They could, but I don't really see that as being something that's all that on the cards. Power forwards, Darrell Arthur's at 3,900. He's a great tournament play at 3,900. I think he can go quite big. Ken Fareed's minutes are very much up and down, as is the whole Denver front court, so Arthur can go to 30 points, and at 3,900, that can be valuable. Aaron Gordon at 6,700. The production has definitely been down. This matchup is very tasty, though. I am okay with getting back on the Aaron Gordon train here. Ken Fareed at 6,200. Speak of up and down, tournaments and tournaments only. And that's about it. Now, if Vucevic happens to miss, Jason Smith might get minutes, but he only played 11 in the last one and put up 6 points, and he has not shown any proclivity to put up fantasy points. Nikola Jokic at 6,300, I think that he is a great option here. He should be able to get 30 points. There is a bit of risk given what Mike Malone does, so that might restrict him to tournaments, but I think he's a pretty nice guy. Well, nice guy to look at anyway. Nick Vucevic at 8,000, don't want to use him if he happens to return. And Dwayne Dedman, who should see more minutes if Vucevic is out. He's not exactly a fantasy stud. Philadelphia and Brooklyn. The Nets are favored by 7 points. The total is 208.5 here. Willie Reed is out for Brooklyn with a knee issue. Bob Cove and Jeremy Grant are both out for the Sixers, as is Rishon Holmes. So we're going to have some value appear here. With Covington out, three-point shooting is needed. So there's a few three-point shooters on the Sixers who are worth looking at. Isaiah Cannon is at 3,800. He had 26 in the last game. He is very up and down, but at 3,800, if he gets to 20 points, you're in front. And he can go big. He can hit five threes and give you 20 points. That is not a crazy thing for Cannon. So consider him at 3,800. Ish Smith at 6,500 just feels marginally expensive. Now, it's a nice matchup against the Nets, but Smith has just been a little bit underwhelming, and that price tag feels a bit high. Don Sloan's at 4,500. This is a great matchup for him, but can you trust him? The answer is no. He is a tournament-only sort of guy. Shane Larkin, TJ McConnell, no thanks. Shooting guards. Nick Stauskas had a big game in the last one, had 25 points, and at 3,700, when they need the extra three-point shooting, you can look at Stauskas in a tournament, but you have to be relatively desperate. Markel Brown, Wayne Ellington, Sean Kilpatrick, I don't think there's much love from any of those guys. Small forward. Hollis Thompson stunk in the last game, but he's going to get minutes and he's going to get shots, and the matchup is beautiful. 4,000 for Thompson. Does he get you 20 points? He's already averaging 23 across the last five anyway. I think Hollis Thompson is definitely someone you look at. Bojan Bogdanovic at 41. I think you can get 20 points out of him as well. So he is not a bad cheap option to play as well. Power forwards. A couple of options here. Karl Landry is at 4,400. He had 29 in the last game. You'd expect 25 plus from Landry, I reckon. We've got him projected, I think, at 22 here, but I think he can go a bit higher than that. Even at 22 at 4,400, that's plenty of value. Nerlens Noel at 6,400. No Jahlil Okafor, so we should see bumps in Noel's production. He's already averaging 34 across his last three. Fine with using him as well. And Thad Young is at 7,000. Yeah, pretty good spot here for power forwards as well, so he's in play. Thomas Robinson, Elton Brand, Chris McCullough, none of those guys are worth caring too much about. Brookie Lopez, 8,500. He's playing the Sixers, so 40 points shouldn't be crazy. He's already averaging 41 across his last three. He's fine to use. Toronto and Milwaukee, we need to check the status of these Raptors players back-to-back after big minutes in Chicago. This could change a lot of stuff. Jared Bayless at 4,600. He's getting minutes, a stack of them, but he's not producing. You can look at him in a tournament, but that's really about it. Corey Joseph, no thanks. Kyle Lowry at 8,500. I don't like the matchup for him. I don't like him backing up after 40 minutes. I will leave Lowry to someone else. Even though everything he's doing lately looks great, this is just not a good spot for him. Shooting guards. I'll say a similar thing for DeMar DeRozan, who's at 8,400. He's been putting up great numbers, averaging 41 across his last five. But on the back-to-back, I would rather spend 100 less and take Chris Middleton, who's averaging 44 across his last three, who had 44 in the last game. He's been really consistent around that level, and this should be an opportunity, especially if they rest guys, for Middleton to go off. Terrence Ross at 3,700. You'd consider him and Norman Powell if these guys happen to sit, but apart from that, no thank you. Small forwards. Giannis. 9,900. Is this fade Giannis time? 9,900 is big. It's huge. He's averaging 50 across his last five. He's averaging 48 across his last three. I probably fade Giannis at 10,000 or 9,900. I don't like doing it because he just dropped a 71, but that's so expensive. That's LeBron James territory. Is he that good? Oh, Jesus, I don't know. He's been putting up just crazy numbers. I think I fade him. Watch me be extremely wrong. Power forwards, Jabari Parker, 6,700. The salary's risen a lot, and the Raptors are a really tough team for power forwards to go against in general. I don't hate using him here. I think he's an okay option, but he's definitely not one of the best ones on the board. Pat at 3,700, starting to put together some games here. And if Valanciunas misses, I like Pat at 3,700. I think he, and against Milwaukee, I think he's a good option. At center, Bismack Biyombo if Valanciunas happens to be out, 3,800 for Biombo is great. He had 25 points today. He'll see 25 minutes most likely, be able to get close to double-digit rebounds, should get multiple blocks, and that should be enough to push you over 20 points. So he's one of the better cheap options on the board. If Valanciunas plays, I'm still not using him, and nor am I using Greggy Monroe at 6,800. John Henson could also return here, so that's going to limit any ability you have to use Miles Turner, and you're not going to use Henson in his first game back from that back problem. The Clippers and the Spurs, just fantasy handbrakes all around here. The Spurs are favored by 9. The total is 200. Paul Pierce is doubtful with his toe issue. Chris Paul is priced at 10,100. I hate using him here in this match against the Spurs. No thanks. Over 10,000, I'm not using him. Patty Mills at 4,000, not getting close to it. Tone Parker at 4,900, don't love him going up against Chris Paul. I think we can forget about nearly most players in this game. Shooting guard, Danny Green at 4,000. He's a tournament only option and he's okay at that sort of role. JJ Redick at 48. In most circumstances, I'd love it, but when you've got Green on you, it's not a good spot for Redick. So there's, you know, I feel okay with him, and there's not many cheap shooting guards around, so I feel sort of okay with him, but I feel also a little bit hesitant. Manu's at 3,900. Just hasn't been getting it done lately, and nor has Jamal Crawford, so we can leave those guys out of consideration. Small forwards, Kawhi at 8,900. Feel fine with using Kawhi here. I think that he should be able to get 40-plus out of him. He should be able to play big minutes, assuming they don't smash the Clippers, which they could, but I think that Kawhi gets a pretty big run here and puts up some significant numbers. Wes Johnson at 4,000, that's too expensive given his current role. 5,200 for Jeff Green is way too much inconsistency to use him in anything aside from a real flyer of a tournament lineup. At power forward, LaMarcus Aldridge is at 8,000. He's been putting up big numbers for a big stretch now, averaging 44 across his last five. I feel completely fine with getting him involved. And at center, DeAndre Jordan's the main one we want to look at here. He's at 8,500. He hasn't been giving us that value lately, so I'd probably steer clear. If you have got some pretty large testicles, Tim Duncan is worth a look. He's at 5,200. Now, in a game that is, you know, that could be close, Duncan can get up to 28 minutes. He's averaging 26 minutes across his last three and giving you over 26 points. He might play 28 minutes. He might play 29 minutes. In his last five games, he's had a 28-minute game, and that gave you 35 fantasy points. You're banking on, does Tim Duncan play 22 or does he play 27 minutes? If you think it goes to 27 because the game's close, then 5,200, 25 points should feel pretty comfortable for Duncan. If you think it's a smashing and he plays 22 minutes, then forget about it. But don't discount him. From a game that is full of fantasy handbrakes, the next game is all fantasy green lights. It's the Sacramento Kings and the Los Angeles Lakers. Oh, Jesus, there is some dysfunction happening in this game. Let's start with the point guards. Darren Collison is at 5,300. I love him at that price. I think he's a solid cash game play at that price. 8,000 for Rajon Rondo, not so much. 7,000 for D'Angelo Russell, I'm also not keen on that. I'll restrict that to tournaments, and that's about it. His play has dropped off a little bit, and with Kobe back, the shots just aren't there. 5,700 for Jordy Clarkson. It's a great spot for him, so I would feel confident in using him because of the spot. Now, his numbers haven't been awesome lately, but I think that he's got 30-point upside here. Lou Williams at 49, don't trust his minutes. Kobe, no chance. Marco Ballinelli at minimum salary with Ben McLemore limited. Well, he played 11 in the last one, Ballinelli, so I'm not all of a sudden thinking that George Karl is going to do anything rational or anything along those lines. Small forwards, I think Rudy Gay has been bad lately. He's been terrible, averaging 24 across his last five. But Rudy Gay is at 6,200. He's a 74, 7,500 guy at times. It doesn't get much better than playing the Lakers as a small forward. Does he get 30 points? I reckon he's a massive chance here. So I think that Gay, despite his recent form, is worth looking at. Omri Caspi, no. Meta World Peace, double no. Power forwards. Brandon Bass is dealing with a corneal abrasion. He's at 4,000. He's been consistently over 20 points. The Kings is a great spot for him. If he plays, I think that's okay to look at. Julius Randle at 6,100. That's too expensive. I want him at 55. Larry Nance, no. Willie Cauley-Stein's an interesting one. He's at 3,700. He put 22 up in the last game. His minutes have been on the rise, but I do not trust George Karl, so I would not use him in a cash game. at center. Boogie Cousins is at 11,100. It is huge, but Boogie Cousins is massive. His minimum score in his last five has been 44 points. He's averaging 53 across those last five. He's had a 70-point game. He's averaging 58 across his last three. It's the Lakers. This is 50. Got 50 written all over for Boogie. If you're spending up, Boogie is one of the guys to go for. As for the other centers, Roy Hibbert, Costa Kufos, Robert Sacre, and Tariq Black, let's just move on to the DFS picks of the day. Point guards, Isaiah Cannon, 3,800, Emmanuel Mudiay, 61, and Isaiah Thomas, 79. Shooting guards, JJ Redick, 48, Victor Oladipo, 7,000, and Chris Middleton, 83. The small forwards, Hollis Thompson, 4,000, Evan Turner, 59, and Kawhi Leonard, 89. Power forwards, Carl Landry, yes, this is 2016, and Carl Landry is on the board. 4,400 for Carl Landry, Miles Turner, 5,000, and LaMarcus Aldridge, 8,000. And the centers, Bismack Biyombo, 38, Timmy Duncan, 52, and Boogie Cousins, 11,100. We are done today, guys. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your support throughout the season. If you don't want to miss an episode of the show, subscribe on either YouTube or iTunes, or hey, ¿por qué no los dos? Why not both? Leave a review. That would be awesome. It helps support the podcast in a big way. And check out Basketball Monster. All of your daily fantasy tools, all of your seasonal tools. There's some great stuff on Basketball Monster. Articles that come out every day of the week. So make sure you're checking out all of those. Follow me on Twitter at redrock_bball. We are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.